Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues each and every day. It's our joy to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. Also, let me remind you, this broadcast is designed around you, our listener. It is a Q&A format. That is, you can call in, ask the questions, we respond. As we face the issues each and every day, we'd love to have you participate. As one put it some time ago, they wanted to just call in, put in their 2 cents worth. Well, that's all right. You can put in 2 cents worth or a nickel's worth if you'd like. But that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue. After that monologue, we'll entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll have Pastor Davis joining us remotely today as we talk about the issue. We'll be talking about a subject that I believe is so vital for every Christian to adhere to and to understand. We're calling it today simply Trust and Obey. There's an old song that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." We're talking about that in light of what we're seeing in society today with the mega difficulties, the chaos, the confusion, and the calamity that's taking place in our nation and across the world. We need to recognize that we cannot do it ourselves, but we need to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging Him and allow Him to direct our paths. And that's speaking of relying on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I call it having a central Biblicist worldview. A central Biblicist worldview. So often, there are individuals that say, "Well, I believe in God, and I trust in Him," but they do not have a central Biblicist worldview. In fact, George Barner, in the Barner Report, said, with about 91% of Americans claiming they have some kind of relationship with God, only about 21% of them go to church on a worship on a regular basis, and out of that, only about 11%, I believe the number was, of adult Christians have a central Biblicist worldview. And he also went on to say that about 4% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, have a central Biblicist worldview. And there's a vast difference just simply saying, "I believe something," and then putting that into action in life and living. A central Biblicist worldview simply means that everything that takes place, we view it based on the prism, looking through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say in relationship to what is happening in the world today? What does God's Word say in relationship to how we should respond to what is taking place in the world today? As we think on the subject of having faith and trust and trusting and obeying, we need to understand what that means in light of the differing things that's taking place. So we do it, ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast each and every day based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus, speaking to His disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, says, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, the Lord Jesus says, "I am truth." And further He states in John 17, 17, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that I believe God would have us to allow to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway each and every day. Psalms 119, verse 105 tells us we need to be able to have the Word of God hidden in our heart that we might not sin against God. We need to have the Word of God in our heart so that we'll have understanding and wisdom as to what God would have us to do. And it goes back to the truth book, the Word of God. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be absolutely true, if I can use that term, absolutely true today. We need to recognize that truth is demeaned, dissed, discarded, and denied in society in which we're living in today. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's the position that we ought to take as Christians today. So we're speaking to Christians today, and we might add then conservatives, patriots, those that are interested in biblical things, but most especially to the Christian that's confused based on what's happening. How should we then live, as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 10? But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can also answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, 165 feet in there, with a gigantic U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment where Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff to be off, to be able to go worship in the house of God with the family of God as God would have it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make your application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does as far as placing you in the home, the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to talk with you today, entertain your questions and comments in relationship to a simple statement, trust and obey. We live in a world of chaos and confusion and calamity, and many today have a sense of hopelessness, a feeling of helplessness. Across our nation today, we're watching the demonic forces at work. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, the Apostle Paul reminded us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the satanic demonic forces attacking the home, the family, our faith, and our freedom. We're watching the demonic forces undermining and tearing down and destroying our constitutional republic. We're watching the demonic forces at work in the White House and across the nation in every realm and every phase and every facet of life today. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I'll say and then we'll introduce our guest today. Here's an article that says, the White House, DHS, that's Department of Homeland Security, will continue the anti-disinformation campaign. The reason this article is so important, ladies and gentlemen, is because the Department of Homeland Security had established a board of disinformation where they were going to be censoring all speech to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false, because there is so much, ire of the public, and so much questioning and confirmation, consternation and confrontation over that, the Department of Homeland Security basically fired the one that they had appointed for that person that was responsible for it, which was a female that was against anything that's called truth. This article goes on to say very briefly, the White House insists the pausing of the plan to establish a disinformation governance board does not mean that the effort to combat disinformation has stopped at all. At the daily briefing, Biden press secretary said the board was put on hold because it was mischaracterized by critics, but the work will continue to go on. Quote, we are going to pause it, but the work doesn't stop. We're still going to continue the work. DHS is still going to continue the work of searching out and finding and stopping disinformation. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little tip of the iceberg of what is taking place in the nation today. One of the most alarming headlines, I believe, for today, is where it says the feds are investigating the threat to burn down the Supreme Court and murder the Supreme Court justices. Yep, that's in America. It's the radicals on the left. It's the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, and their, arms in the legs, the thugs in the streets that's carrying it out, that's making this statement. It's dated May 19th, and it says this: an alarming report from the Department of Homeland Security documents that law enforcement officials are investigating social media threats that radical abortion promoters plan to burn down or storm the Supreme Court building and murder justices and their law clerks when court rules expected to overturn Roe versus Wade is released. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a fomenting of the Marxist Communist Party, which is most visible in the Democrats in America today, of planning on murdering Supreme Court justices, burning the buildings down, et cetera, et cetera. That just gives you a little idea. That's just icing on the cake, as I would call it, setting the stage of where we're going with what is taking place in America. And the question on behalf of every Christian and every conservative is, what should we do? How should we respond? Ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a sense of hopelessness. There's a sea of hopelessness in our nation today. There's a lack of hope in the hearts and the lives of so many that we're speaking to today. And I go back to the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line with us today, remotely, we have Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Pastor Davis is a regular guest with us on Let's Face the Issues. We're always delighted to have him. And by the way, we need to congratulate Pastor Davis. He is graduating in the commencement service for Conservative Theological University, finishing his master's degree in theological studies. And so, Pastor Davis, welcome on the broadcast today, and congratulations on a job well done.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. First, I do give honor to God, who's the head of my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ, for being a very present help in a time of trouble. And I also want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years that's been standing right by my side all the time, all of my family members and friends, and everyone that has been expressing to me well wishes and showing me acts of love and kindness during this time of the graduation. And, of course, Dr. Youngblood, I want to thank you also for everything that you have poured into my life, certainly preparing me more for the ministry in the area of anything pertaining to Scripture, even religion and politics. I just thank God for all the knowledge, you know, that I have gained since coming to Conservative Theological University. So I thank God for you as well.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful for you, thankful for the studious academic work that you've done. And I want all our listeners to understand that that has been the case in your life and your work and ministry. And then it's vivified in the classroom with your studies and the preparation. I can announce to our audience, Pastor Davis has been a straight A or A-plus student, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm thankful for that. I've had the privilege of being one of his professors in the course of his studies. And I'm thankful for what God has done in and through his life. But I can say to Pastor Davis and to our listeners, it's been as a result of faithfulness, keeping on, keeping on, continuing to do the study and the preparation that's needed. Pastor Davis, we're going to talk about some things today that I believe is dear to your heart and to each of our lives and ministries. But we're looking at the seriousness of the condition in America today and from the perspective of how should a Christian live, what should he do? So the question is, Pastor, how should a parent respond today when the baby formula is almost non-existent and a mother and a father, or parents in general, how should they respond to the lack of material that's needed, i.e. the baby formula, to feed their infants, sensing sheer panic, fear and helplessness. What does the Bible tell us, and how should they respond to it? I'll share one verse of Scripture, and then you can speak for a while on that question. Genesis 26:24, God told Abraham, "Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee." I believe that is apropos and fitting for that mother, that parent, that family, that is in sheer panic mode because of not being able. And I did not realize, and I'll admit to our audience today, Pastor, I did not realize the high technological ingredients and blend that goes into a baby's formula that they then warn very seriously that you cannot water it down, you cannot weaken its strength because it will be very detrimental perhaps to the child. I didn't realize that. I thought, well, just add a little water to it, wouldn't be a problem. They said, no, don't do that. But in view of what's happening in our nation, in view of what's happening with the shortage in relationship to baby formula, and we'll talk about other shortages and problems in a moment, but facing that issue first, how should that parent respond? What should be biblical advice from pastoral studies? What would be your biblical advice to that mother, that father, that family that's in panic mode today because they're concerned for their infant?
Oh, well, Dr. Youngblood, again, as you have stated already about the fear factor, I realize that there's a lot of that out there present in the world on today. And certainly I can understand that from the perspective of a person that does not know Christ. Yes, they will panic because they have no other hope. But for the believer, God is our hope. He is everything that we need. The Bible says he's a very present help in the time of trouble.
Yes.
So what I like to use, Dr. Youngblood, for today is a very familiar passage of Scripture coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He said, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." See, if we look at things from the outside, certainly with our eyes, we're not going to understand a whole lot of times what we are looking at. And the first response for any human being, which is a natural response, is fear, because it's a fear of the unknown, especially when it's something that we're not familiar with. So certainly that's going to be the first response. But then that's where we depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit to give us what we need to stand on the Word of God, because if he has told us to trust in him with all our heart, he's not saying that in vain, and he's not saying that for no reason. He wants you to know that, in other words, the way I tell everybody today, God has got this. He has got this under his control. There is nothing new under the sun, like the book of Ecclesiastes tells us. There's nothing new, amen, nothing that ever happened or that ever will happen that will catch God by surprise. So I certainly believe that even though there are things that's happening that we may not understand on today, if we trust God, he will work it out for us. He will make sure that we have everything we need, but we need to trust in him with all our heart. And don't go by it the way we understand it. Now, a couple of days ago, a good friend of mine, and I think my wife also, we had a chance to sit down and do a little bit of talking about this baby formula thing. And, of course, with me being less than 100 years old, and you and I as well, and all of us, I believe, Dr. Youngblood, you know, our mothers brought us up in a time when formula wasn't available.
That's right.
And in fact, you know, and I would say, you know, right now, if they were here, they would know exactly what to do. You know, they could help us to get through this mess because, I mean, I certainly hate to see it in the position where it's at right now because these formula shortages are, yeah, it's causing a lot of problems. But if we trust in God, again, trust in God, that's the key. Trust in God. I believe he's going to make a way. I mean, in spite of what we're seeing, even though we might not know where it's coming from, our God is a miracle-working God, and I believe in miracles. Miracles still happen on today. And if it comes down to where, even though we might not know where we're going to get it from, if we trust in God, when we look back around again, from somewhere, somehow, God will make it happen. But we have to trust in him to do that for us. So let's anchor our hope and our thoughts and our hearts in the Word of God, trusting and believing that he will provide a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies, he said. He will lay that table out so that whatever you need, you can sit down and have you a good full course buffet, because God is going to provide exactly what you need.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Pastor, that I think is apropos, God is not late. God is never early. He's never missed an appointment. He's always on time. And at the point of that need, in fact, I have found in my lifetime, at the very point that you feel that, well, there's nothing else I can do, and that's the point God wants to get us to, well, we can't do it, but He can. He wants us to go to Him and allow Him to be first, foremost, and final in our decision-making. And as you stated so appropriately, lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging Him, allowing Him to direct our paths. Perhaps David in Psalms 23, and you touched on Psalms 23 a moment ago, David said, "The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, in the Amen. English Bible, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the Hebrew text, is not there. David is making a declaratory statement. "The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want." David is saying that because God is the shepherd, he knows that he is not going to want. And then we go back to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20, where Nehemiah told his people they'd been laughed at, mocked at, threatened, and condemned for what they were doing in building the wall. Nehemiah said, "Our God shall fight for us." And Pastor, I believe that is the message of the hour. That's the message that's needed today. That's the word of encouragement and hope that I believe that we need to offer to every listener today, that God is still on the throne. God has not gone on vacation. He's not sick. He's not asleep. He's not impotent that He cannot move. And as you said a moment ago, God still performs miracles. And at the very point of the greatest need, God's always going to intervene and meet the need. But He wants to get our attention. He wants us to place our faith and our trust in Him. And as 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear." And yet we find that permeating society today as a result of the dangers, the difficulties that's appearing on every hand in society. I believe it's time we go back to the Bible and allow the Word of God to give us hope and trust and confidence, and not placing our hope and trust and confidence in government. But going back to the issue that is very, very real about the formula that cannot be gotten, I find it so disingenuous and so much of a, if I can use the just old young blood vernacular, the government spitting in the face of the citizens, where we have 18-wheeler loads, pallets full of formula being delivered to the border for illegals coming across the border, that they get plenty of formula for their babies. But the citizens in America, the moms and the dads and the families, they're in a position of sheer fear and being petrified because they can't find formula for their infants. I find it totally disingenuous. But that's the approach that the Biden administration is taking. And as a result of that, Christians in particular need to recognize that we need to turn back to God. I believe, Pastor, that God could very well be saying to America, "I'm going to get your attention one way or the other." And I go back and base that, if God is omnipotent, if God is omnipresent, if God is all-powerful, and He is, if God is totally the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is, then just as He operated with the old in the Old Testament with the Jewish people, He would bless them, they would thrive, they would turn their backs on God, He would have to bring them into bondage and or some kind of judgment for them to get their attention, for them to turn back to God. Do you see that as the potentiality of what is taking place in America?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as you just got finished saying, I believe that God, yeah, He is trying to get our attention. We have turned away from Him for so long, I mean, concerning our lifestyles and even the things that we do in the church. Certain places you go, and I'm not going to single anybody out like some of these doing in the media right now, because it's not worth that. I'm not here to degrade anyone or try to disenfranchise anybody. But, of course, you know, when you go different places, you can see different things happening in the church services that seem like they should not be there. Certain things are being added, and it's being called worship. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm one, Dr. Youngblood. I don't like anything mixed with something original. I'm like the old people. I don't like to take wooden nickels. We can't do anything with that. So when we start coming into the church and mixing stuff in with the worship that's not biblical, in other words, if we don't find it in the scripture, if this is not what God is pleased with, then that shouldn't be a part of our worship. And a lot of that is the reason why we can't hear from God on today. I'm talking about the church, you know, in particular, the body of Christ. The enemy has invaded holy ground. He doesn't have any reason to be there. He's not supposed to be there, in fact. That's intended for the saints and for the saints only. But because we compromise with sin, we don't call sin what it is. We just put up with any and every old thing, and it's all about, like I hear you say all the time, numbers, nickels, and noses. You know, if it's all about just trying to win a church membership, then it's no good. We need to know that. We need to get back to the basics of what the Bible says. Amen. So that when we call upon God, like David said in the book of Psalm in 120, Psalm number 120, verse number 1, he said, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." You see, David was crying out from a pure heart. He had repented for all the sin that he had done and the wrong things he'd done in his life that he knew that wasn't pleasing in the sight of God. So when he moved that negative stuff out of the way and began to cry out to God, God was able to hear and answer his prayer. So he confirmed that when he cried out in his distress, that God heard him, and he will hear us too on today. But there are some things, Dr. Youngblood, that we need to move out of the way first so that God can come in and bless us.
Absolutely. Brother, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your spot-on responses. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What are some of the things that you're faced with that you may be worried about, concerned about, that you would like to address as part of this broadcast today that might be a help, encouragement, or a challenge to others, something that you have found in your relationship to the Lord that you'd like to pass on that others might be increased in their faith to trust him? Pastor Davis, not just the shortage of the formula, but also in our nation, we're finding today major, major questions about the economy and where things are going. I'm looking at an article that says Wells Fargo CEO warns, no question about it, the worst is yet to come for all Americans. The CEO of Wells Fargo warned Tuesday that there is no question that the U.S. economy is going to get worse, far worse, before it gets better. Quote, it's going to be hard to avoid some kind of recession, CEO Charles Schwab said during a Wall Street Journal event on Tuesday. So, Pastor, when we hear that, see that taking place, and there's the food shortages, some grocery stores and some other retail outlets and stores are finding shortages because of the distribution of not being able to get the products. What products are coming in are going sky high, including the price of gasoline. In fact, some of the economists tell us that by the last of June, we could very easily be looking at $6.50 to $7 a gallon for gasoline in America. Now, with that being said, that is a frightening thing for many people today because of this taking place. I'm looking at another article that says the inevitable coming recession and how to prepare for it. So, Pastor, the question is, how should we respond as Christians? And for our listeners today, what's the biblical advice for the preparation for what they've already said is going to be escalation with major, major inflation and recession? We've got about 30 seconds before our break. Touch on that, and then we'll come back after the top of the hour break and continue our thoughts on that, Pastor.
Well, again, Dr. Youngblood, I would suggest that we continue to trust in God no matter what, but also God lets us know that we need to prepare for war in a time of peace. Of course, we can do what we need to do right now by buying the things that's available and go ahead and stock up, go ahead and fill your pantries, go ahead and put things up. In other words, put things aside for a rainy day because trouble is coming. I mean, we realize that things are not going to continue to be good for us always, and we are beginning to see the warning signs ahead of time. So I believe that warning comes before destruction. So while we are getting the warning sign, let us go ahead and prepare so that when these times come, we'll be ready.
Absolutely. Hold your thought there, ladies and gentlemen.